very important story we're leading with this morning. A 9-year-old boy is critically ill after coming into contact with a hazardous substance at a bonfire site off the Shankill Road. Police have been clearing the scene at Glenwood Street after drums containing a substance were dumped at the site. The boy is currently in intensive care in the Royal Belfast Hospital for Sick Children. Belfast City Councillor Jim Rogers and commentator Brendan Mulgrew with us this morning. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning.
Well, Jim, this is distressing, and we often in this programme have spoken about the dangers of materials left around these sites.
Absolutely, Stephen. It's just a total and utter disgrace. And my thoughts and prayers this morning are with the 9-year-old boy who lies in a Belfast hospital critically ill. And I'm thinking of his parents and wider family circle and friends at this time. And I hope that he pulls through and makes a full and speedy recovery. We find so often hazardous waste and hazardous substances dumped. And the reason for it is because contractors are not prepared to pay the money to get rid of it. And these people need to be found out, they need to be caught, they need to be prosecuted, because this is going to happen more and more. The cost of dumping now legally is extremely high, and somebody must know who this contractor is, because there's been not many drums thrown onto the bonfire site at Glenwood Street off the Shankill Road. But this is a very serious matter. It could get worse at the time whenever so many bonfires and are in the process of gathering materials.
And is this a sign, Brendan, of how more regulation is needed around bonfires? Now we have a 9-year-old little boy critically ill.
I think it is, Stephen, and I absolutely agree with Jim. And obviously, we all hope the young fella pulls through. It's horrendous to think what his family and himself are going through. But Stephen, that is on top of stories coming out last summer and the previous summer where houses were evacuated, pensioners evacuated houses very badly damaged as a result of bonfires as well. And if some sections of the community are going to insist in having bonfires every year, yes, of course there needs to be more and tighter regulation around all of that. And especially in a situation where they now receive public funds, city council funds. So whether that requires some sort of partnership between the guys on the ground who are organising the bonfires, or city council who are handing out grants here, or the police and other statutory authorities, if we're going to have bonfires, nothing good seems to come out of bonfires year after year after year. This could be the worst incident yet. And yes, there absolutely needs to be more regulation around bonfires. There's too many downsides around bonfires. I struggle to see the upside, to be quite frank about it.
Tim, it wasn't that long ago that Mark H. Durkin was calling for a licensing scheme around bonfires.
That's quite correct. And a number of us thought there could be...
That's when he was Environment Minister.
That's right. A number of us thought there could be major difficulties with some of his suggestions and proposals. This particular bonfire, Stephen, the very fact that wood's been gathered so early and before the 1st of June, and that's the stipulated date for those who are looking for some funding, not just for the bonfire, but it's the events surrounding the run-up to the 11th evening. And in regards to this site, there wasn't a lot of materials, as I understand, on it. So somebody quite clearly has taken advantage here. It's on wasteland. There used to be houses there. And the quicker they get that site restored to the way it should be with new social housing, the better for all concerned. But this morning, Stephen, I would like to praise the police and the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, the housing executive, the contractors and Belfast City Council, because all of them reacted exceptionally quickly. The situation could have been much worse. And I know that a lot of people are concerned that some of their children who were playing around the site, they could have contracted perhaps something also. But I hope and pray that that is not the case. But there's a warning now needs to be sent out that anyone found dumping materials like this anywhere illegally needs to be brought to book and rightfully prosecuted.
Yeah, but that's not what happens, is it?
Well,
so
Stephen,
when we look at bonfires, and I've been saying this for years.
Stephen, with the greatest respect, the biggest majority of bonfires throughout the length and breadth of Northern Ireland do not have people dumping hazardous waste. Yes, there's rubbish put on it, but it's nothing like what happened a few days ago. The whole thing here is a total and utter disgrace.
Jim, some people from the loyalist community
are responsible.
Hold on a second. Some people from the loyalist community get quite angry with me when I bring up the issue of bonfires, and they some of them tend to depict this as me being against the loyalist community. Anything but. What I've been saying for years, and I'll repeat it today again, is that this is actually about protecting people in the loyalist community. This is about when bonfires are put, you know, they're not being put beside my house. They're being put in the middle of loyalist working class housing estates. And when they're there, I'm asking the questions, what's the protection for the local community from the fumes and the toxins that are released from tires? I'm asking the question, what is the protection and the follow-through thought put into if there are kids climbing on top of these and there's wood with nails and other dangerous, hazardous materials there? What's the protection for those local kids? And now, obviously, we're talking about, well, what's the protection from people who decide, well, they're just going to dump anything at these sites because it's a gathering site for rubbish? And I would repeat this morning again, Jim, I'm trying to raise questions of public interest on behalf of those innocent people in the loyalist community who are being endangered. And if anybody wants to tell me, well, I'm exaggerating, there is no danger, there's a 9-year-old little boy fighting for his life now.
No, Stephen, I appreciate you and your programme highlighting this morning.
You've been highlighting it for years.
Yes, I know that. And it is important, I mean, it has to be continued highlighted through the media to let people know the dangers here and that someone could quite easily lose their life or suffer some terrible effects that will cause them great distress and worry in years to come. So we need to keep hammering the point home and hammering it home till the message gets through that this is not acceptable. Now, there's been speculation that even there could be some asbestos actually thrown in a site, and hopefully that's not the case either. But it could well happen elsewhere on bonfires. So anyone involved in bonfire collections, in bonfire building, needs to play their part in ensuring that any contractor or anyone who comes along with a van or a lorry, they're not going to be permitted just to dump willy-nilly.
George,
you need to contact Belfast City Council. Even though the council don't own this piece of land, the housing executive, the council will assist in taking action along with the housing executive whoever else owns the land.
I should know this, by the way. My apologies that I don't. But what is the score around this particular bonfire site? Is it secured so that nobody else can get near it? Does anybody know?
Well, I don't think so. No, it's on quite open wasteland, Stephen. I know the Glenwood Street area, I know the Shankill, I know the Woodville area.
Well, should it
area.
Not be secured until we understand what hazardous materials are around it or in it?
I understand that the site has been secured.
Yeah, it's secured now.
Our City Council staff through the Community Safety Unit have been extremely active once they were told what was taking place. And brought together the various agencies.
All right, so it's secured now.
Will help the situation.
All right, George, go ahead. Morning to you, George.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, you're quite right highlighting it, but just, I mean, it's sort of getting misreported. If you let me explain why, I will here. It's not a bonfire site per se. It never has been a bonfire site. There's a bonfire around the corner at the bottom of Lanark Way every year. What happened was, and the residents have been asking for this pile of rubbish to be moved for 2 or 3 weeks with no joy. If it had been moved when they asked, this wee lad wouldn't have been in hospital because they've been asking the agencies to move it for 3 weeks. Some client came, it's actually a waste ground where they knocked the houses down and being a shankle as usual, the waste ground is laid there and nothing built. So they haven't, but some client came, it's actually where 3 or 4 streets were knocked down right behind the Orange Hall at the gates of Glenwood School, Stephen. Somebody came 2 or 3 weeks ago and dumped a load of trees and mattresses and that there. So the kids normally just started tailing it into a fire. From that day, the residents have been asking for it to be moved with no joy. They've been to the council, the executive, the police, everything, and got no joy. So once somebody dumps something there, you know how it goes. It's a fly tip. They all start dumping. And the same thing did happen last year in Lanark Way with asbestos. So it cost thousands to be removed. Frank McCubry was one of the councillors down along with other local councillors that had moved, and they found addresses from as far away at the top of the Cliftonville Road and among the rubbish. So it's not a bonfire site per se. There has never has been.
Well,
a bonfire
I'm
there.
Sure, and again we can check this out. But I suspect that if your rubbish is found on public property, that Environmental Services can go after you.
Well, John McVicker was
I'm
there
pretty,
yesterday.
I can get that checked out, and we will check it out now through Environmental Services, but I'm 99% sure that...
That is quite right. Yeah. Environmental Services will go after you. Make no mistake
about
it.
What about the people whose addresses then are in this rubbish?
Well, how do we know there's any names and addresses in this rubbish?
Jim,
that's what George is telling
us. You know I wouldn't come on and tell. You know, the Shankill Extra, the Shankill paper was there yesterday, Shankill East Belfast Extra, they done a report on it last year.
Yeah.
If you contact Frank McCurby, I'm sure he'd be able to tell you that there was and verify that there
no,
was
no, George, George, I don't mean last year. I'm talking about this year.
Yesterday, well, what happened yesterday, Jim, I'm explaining, and this is the situation. It's the bottom of my street, and believe me, the site's not secured. It's a greenfield site now, but they knocked them down and went away.
Is the site secured now, George?
No, Stephen, the police had tape around it, so they had... The police had tape around it, and
tape's not going to stop a kid walking under the tape. Is the tape still around it?
No.
Is the hazardous material removed from that site?
It's gone. They came last night and removed it. But this reporting of it a bonfire site, that's what I'm trying. It's not a bonfire site. If the residents had been listened to 2 or 3 weeks ago when somebody initially dumped rubbish, you know when they dump rubbish and dump mattresses and trees, kids are drawn to it, Stephen. So they are, and they started piling it into a bonfire. Then yesterday,
well, then it
when
is
the
a bonfire.
Came,
if they started piling it into a bonfire, then it is a bonfire.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's not an, what would be termed as an official bonfire site or a bonfire that's there.
But George, there's the point. Please listen to me this morning. There is no such thing as an official bonfire site, is there?
I mean, because within the community,
I know where I'm coming from. I know, and I'm not trying to be clever. But here's what this programme has been asking for many, many years. Should there not be some type of regulation with buy-in from the local community, with the local community part of that process of building the rules around regulation so that the local kids are protected as well as the house? There were two houses burnt down in the Shankill last year. Every single time I raise bonfires on this programme, there are abusive tweets about me, there are abusive messages about me. My goodness, there was a poster about me putting a bonfire last year. There was another huge poster telling me to F off about bonfires just a couple of months ago. The reason I am doing this is because I recognise that there is a danger. Now, they're not all dangerous. There's a danger to people in the Loyalist community. And I repeat again, there's a 9-year-old little boy fighting for his life now.
Yes, absolutely. And that's down to whoever dumped. Stephen, see when the firemen, and I stood and watched them, see when the firemen and the relevant agencies came to check these hazard materials out. They had to dig them out from under old mattresses. Now, whoever dumped them was clever enough to throw mattresses over the top of them. But again, I have to get back to this would not have happened. I mean, and you can check this out. This will be borne out from any of the residents around that site. They've been asking for 3 weeks for this rubbish to be removed with no joy, and this is what has become of it. Kids from all round other districts started to gather and throw old stuff onto it. Other clients came. If somebody came the other night, one of the girls was telling me last night, with a load of Venetian blinds, and tried to dump them until they chased them.
But George,
this is rubbish being
reason,
dumped from outside the area.
But the reason why some people are dumping stuff onto this is because when someone sees what looks like a bonfire site, they feel it is a free-for-all to
absolutely
dump whatever they want.
And
this is not happening in the leafy suburbs of the Malone Road or elsewhere. This is happening in working-class housing estates, and you deserve better.
Absolutely, I agree with you. But again, I get back to the point. This is people from a working-class area asking for this to be removed for the last 3 weeks. Someone knew something like this. Well, not hazardous material, but they were fearful of someone getting hurt because it was uncontrolled. Kids were coming out of the school 50 yards, 60 yards up the street, walking by this. So, and then gathering their kids, not even from the area. And the residents, again, have been asking for 3 weeks for them to move.
Okay, but as you well know, well, hold on a second. To be fair to the City Hall and Environmental Services on that, right? You're not talking about a normal situation here. Where a council officer is asked, look, would you remove this rubbish? You know, it's not the same as removing rubbish in Kent, is it? There are wider sensitivities of removing stuff from bonfire sites in certain areas. You know that.
Stephen, with respect, this is a totally different case altogether than what you're talking about where they've gathered 200 or 300 pallets. This was a pile of rubbish. There was no bonfire. The only thing about burning it was 3 or 4 old mattresses and a load of old bushes that somebody had dumped. This was a pile of rubbish. This was not a bonfire. This was a pile of rubbish where people have been pleading with the relatives. Even yesterday, Stephen, we were standing and a guy from the roads agencies came up to say they'd got a phone call. It was their father. And they were saying it wasn't their lawn. The executive was saying it wasn't their lawn. It's one of those perpetual stories where you get about other things where they all claim that's not their responsibility. Nobody was even claiming who owned the land up until the police stepped in and forced whoever it was, I think it was the council, to remove it in the end. So you had that there even yesterday, but it was not a bonfire site per se where kids would attack council workers. And this was a pile of rubbish. You'll see the pictures in the TV, but it was.
Stephen, I intend speaking to the council officers as soon as I come off this programme, and also the councillors who represent that area to try and get this matter resolved, because we can't have you going on every day for the next week about this issue. And furthermore, we are finding mattresses and chairs and tables and other items dumped here, there and everywhere, not on sites which are for bonfires. It would surprise you in some parts of Belfast, and they're not all working class districts. I could take you to middle class areas and people are being tortured because there's a bit of wasteland and people are just using it to dump everything onto the
sun. No, Jim, I get that. But what I'm talking about here is the building of bonfire sites, right? That's what I'm talking about, because around that is a protection, isn't it? If it's a bonfire site, it's untouchable. The authorities can't move in.
Stephen, it is not untouchable. You take it from me. Well, the City Council and other statutory agencies will play their part at the opportune moment. Yes, they will.
Well, let me tell you something,
we work with people year after year.
Jim, I'm 43 years of age now. I've been talking to you about bonfires since I was in my early 20s on City Beat, right?
Yes, I accept that.
And what happens? I'll tell you right now what happens. What the authorities say is that this needs to be a multi-agency approach. And when you go to them, they say, well, that's not our land. And that you go to another different sector of the authorities and they say, well, what we need is a multi-agency meeting. And we need multi-agency approaches and all of this. And you know fine rightly that's the case.
Yes.
And George has just told us that's what happens.
No, yes.
Somebody came up yesterday from Rhodes and said, well, it's not our land.
Yes, that's exactly what happened, Stephen. I'm not trying to get at you here. I'm telling the facts how it is. You know,
you're right what you're saying.
This would not have happened if people around that site would have been listened to. In fact, the site shouldn't be there. Jim,
I agree with you.
It's a shackle. Not 300 houses down there.
There should have been social houses built in that site years ago, and we all know that, George. But I want to assure you, and I want to assure Stephen, let me repeat what I said a few minutes ago. I have been speaking to the council once this discussion finishes, and I'll be making sure there's action. And I want to give the councillors from that area their place. I will involve them to see what we can do to move this.
Here's the other bit of the discussion we need to have, right? 9-year-old boy fighting for his life. What are the police doing? This is a serious crime. Whoever has left toxic material in the middle of that site has caused a little boy to now be critically ill. How deep is the investigation by the police? Are they checking local CCTV around the area? Are they appealing for witnesses to see who left this? Is the local community going to try to help and see who left this? When did they leave it? How did they leave it? And are they going to be arrested?
Stephen, you take it from me. The police are already investigating. They're already investigating, trying to find out who's been responsible for the dumping, but they need the help of the community. And I would appeal to anyone who knows the culprits to assist the police with their inquiries so that the individuals can be arrested, questioned, and brought before the courts and rightfully
punished. Absolutely, I'd agree with that. Anybody in this district knows who was even near there with a van with rubbish over the last 3 weeks. Reported to the PSN at Tannan Street.
Well, here's Inspector Laura Kelly in a statement saying that they have immediately begun an investigation into the incident and that they're working with their colleagues and partner agencies to identify the source of the containers. They're appealing for information about the material. You can contact the police on 101, quoting reference number 296, or you can give information anonymously to Crime Stoppers. There will be cameras. There's cameras everywhere these days, right? There'll be cameras in some shops on the Shankill Road, all of that type of stuff. Surely to goodness, you know, are the police going to try to and local shopkeepers? You know, this is a little boy from their area. Are they going to look through the CCTV and see if we can find somebody?
I would appeal to you to stop knocking the police.
I'm not knocking them.
The police will do their level best, but the police are only as good as the public make them, and it's all about working together. Whether you be a public representative, an ordinary citizen, you should always help the police to identify individuals who are involved in breaking the law.
Yeah. Whoever left this stuff, here's what I'm trying to say. Whoever left this stuff in the middle of the Shankill should be really worried about getting caught this morning. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, and I would agree with you.
The only thing is, Stephen, I've explained to you, it's going to be hard. You have to know the area. This was all two up, two down, for want of a better word. Old Shankill Road Street behind the Orange Hall. There's one, two, three, there's four streets knocked down, and it's now become an enormous, for want of a better word, waste ground. It's grass, but, I mean, for want of a better word, they're trying to get... There's a couple of houses getting built to the right-hand side of it. Once you pass the Orange Hall and the shops, you're into what is a big square of a waste ground. So there'd be no, I would say there'd be no CCTV of anybody actually dumping. You may get CCTV of a van driving in off the Shankill down the side of the Orange Hall or down
There you go.
Street.
That would at least be a start, wouldn't it?
Yes, but once you get to there, once they get into the middle of that, you'd need to see it. And they wouldn't have come out. They would have drove out the bottom way. So they would have, so, I mean, hopefully they are caught and people up here want them caught, but it would be hard. And there's no issue with the police up here. The police up here, in fact, when the police came yesterday and spotted these drums, the first thing they'd done was cordoned it off in an enormous area. You have to see the size of the area. Police cordoned off, went up, checked the drums, and right away called all the relevant agencies. So there was no issue with the police.
Okay.
It's the dumpers.
Right.
It's
Michael
dumpers
in Belfast.
The problem.
Michael, morning, Michael.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, first of all, I hope that kid, you know what I mean, gets better. And
absolutely. And our thoughts are with his family and his parents. And let's hope that young man pulls through.
Can I ask George? Is George still there?
Yes.
I'm here. What do you want?
Right, George. My name's Michael. George, tell me this. I heard, I listened to you on what you said. You speak a lot of sense. You said that the people have been asking for 3 weeks for this hazardous material to be removed.
No, Michael, the rubbish to be removed, the hazardous materials are discovered when the chair gets sick.
Right, okay. But tell me this, George, is tires not a hazardous material? Do they not give off toxic fumes and
Michael,
so on and so
you're
forth?
Going to get no argument from me. Tires shouldn't be on bonfires if you're trying to entrap me into something.
No, I'm not, George.
Listen to me. I've said it in this programme for
two or three years.
Tires should be nowhere near a bonfire.
Just hold on a minute. First of all, I'm not trying to entrap you. So get that out of your head, whatever brought that on. Now, what I'm saying is, you said the people asked for the rubbish to be removed.
Yes, exactly.
Well, do the people not ask for the tires to be removed?
No bone fire there, Michael. You're asking a hypothetical question. There is no bone fire, and there never has been bone fire there. So,
George,
I mean, what you're asking a hypothetical question of me.
George, I'm talking about, I'm sure there's more sites on the Shankill Road where there's bone fires. Is that right or wrong?
Yes, there's bone fires all over the country.
Right, okay. So do the people not ask when... tires are there. Do the people not ask for tires to be removed?
I'm sure they do. Who wants a tire burnt outside their house?
And George, and why are the tires not removed?
I don't know. And again, you'd have to ask this of the relevant agencies. Oh, tires, I mean, well, we're told for years that tires could be traced back to their source. That's what you need here. Some sort of system where if somebody comes, because people, when you have a tire place, be it on the Falls in Shankill, and you go and get your tire changed, they charge you for leaving the old tire so as they can remove it. So someone somewhere is getting a fortune out of Bonfire's charging for it to remove tires and dump them at sites. Nobody goes in a lorry and collects 200 tires from a tire distributor. This is unscrupulous people coming and dumping this stuff all over the country. What would have been paid for being removed? Remove it. But this is not an issue, Michael. This is about yesterday and a 9-year-old kid in intensive care and where
exactly,
that stuff came
George,
from.
Exactly. And as I said at the start, I hope that kid comes through everything. Now, listen...
That's what happened. Three weeks ago, this was dumped. Now, I don't know when the hazardous material was dumped, but this started 3 weeks ago, and the residents have been pleading for 3 weeks to get it removed, and there's the outcome of it not being removed yesterday. And again yesterday, as I told Stephen...
George,
all the relevant agencies, even arguing with the Shailen Hospital, no one that wanted to take responsibility yet last night of who owned the land.
George, as a member of a community which would be classed nationalist or republican, is there not a place for the people of the Shankill, same as the people from East Belfast, South Belfast and North Belfast, take the Shankill as a point, is there not a place on the Woodville Road, the big Woodville Park, for the Protestant, Unionist, Loyalist people to go and celebrate their culture without these bonfires all over the town?
That's exactly what happens in the Shankill, Michael. There's one in Woodville Park. There's a fun day in Woodville Park. Starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. The 1 o'clock in the morning, it's controlled by local community volunteers. There's a fire in the back of the park that's strictly only wood. The Shankill's not usually a problem with this, apart from that accident last year in the Shankill estate, which has been rectified. If you ask the Lord Shankill Community Association, I'm sure they'll tell you that they hope they've rectified this year.
Okay.
This is not a